I know it enough, but not enough to sing as a solo.
That's good.
We're missing a Judy.
Welcome, everybody. We're playing all kinds of roundabouts here. Glad to see you're here. We have little people here today. That new people we haven't seen in a while.
Whoa.
So we're happy to see the Wolves, and we're happy to see the Coopers.
Yeah.
And Dan.
And Dan the man.
Dan the man. So we're happy to see you all. I have really no announcements going on right now. We're just
welcome,
praising
welcome.
The Lord.
Yeah.
So if you want to stand, we'll go to the call to worship, and it's John 15:7. If you abide in me,
and my words abide in you,
ask whatever you wish,
and it will be done for you.
Let's pray, Lord. Father God, we are just thankful that we have a place to come and worship today, Lord, and we are fewer in number today, but we know that you're still right here with us, because when two or more are gathered, you are here. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the peace that you give us, for the calmness that you give us, that we can just come and worship and praise your name. Father God, I pray that we just let everything go away and just let us concentrate on you alone today, because you are our Heavenly Father. Be with us with the songs we sing. Be with Teresa with the message she has to share. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of the blessings that you give us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so we're going to start with "To God Be the Glory." So you guys have to sing loud.
Praise the Lord.
God has awesome words, so I hope you just absorb the words to it.
Who else could rescue me from my fate?
Thank you. Thank you.
stand in awe of you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. God bless you. Yeah, we made it. We'd heard something about an accident at Wilson River and Gales Creek. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we detoured over Clapshaw. We got here late, but we're here. Let's just take a breath here. All right. If the ushers would come forward, we will do our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings and gifts you have given us, not only in each other in this church family, Lord, and our immediate families, but our jobs, our health, the guiding of recovery to health, and the prayer cover that we give each other. Lord, all these things are an immeasurable wealth that you have given us. So, Lord, help us remember to give back to you the portion we've been commanded to do. Amen. Now we get to that time where we get to be a body together and we get to share. I'm just going to start off because I'm kind of excited. I got to go to visit Ted and see him in fairly good spirits. Sustained ornery humor was back, so that's a good sign. I'm not sure. There might have been about 10 minutes when all we said were puns back and forth. So he's fine. No, he's not fine, but up here he's still sharp. Praise the Lord. But it was a great couple hours of fellowship with him at Legacy Emmanuel. He is in good spirits up here. Save his knowledge, he's going to take a while to recover. He's in a lot of pain, and he's choosing not to take pain meds, so prayers for him for the pain to subside. He's taking Tylenol, if I remember right, and that's it. He doesn't want to take opiates. And I can respect that. That's a person's choice, absolutely. Although sometimes the pain meds help you heal quicker because then you can just relax. It was kind of funny. The most funny part about the visit was I said, now, God gives us things in ways we don't expect when we ask for them. I said, have you perchance been asking God to have some more rest in your life? And he said, yes. And I said, well, you got some. Little bit of humor twist on that. But he was able to recall the accident and describe it to me. And that's just awesome to see his cognitive ability coming back and being there. And I don't know about you guys, but in a marriage or in a family, certain people in the family or marriage are better at doing certain things than others, and you compliment each other over time. one of the jobs I have in our family is managing the health of the family a lot. And I can't say I'm doing perfect, but I'm learning. And so I asked a lot of questions of the doctors. And I tried to give Debbie a lot of information based upon those questions. But he has a couple ports in the side of him that are still draining liquid from inflammation. And he can't come home until they can take those out. And there's still a lot of liquid coming off. So he's going to be there for a while until that calms down, and also until he eats. So we need to pray for him to be able to eat. When he went through his lung cancer, he had the same thing where everything tasted bland and he had to force himself to eat. And he's at that point again. And so I called his bluff on a tuna sandwich. He said, it's too dry. So I said, hey, I know. They have nutritional rooms in every ward. Let's see if they got some mayonnaise. So I called his bluff and we put extra mayonnaise on it and still didn't work. But we tried. So anyway, we really need to pray for Ted that obviously the inflammation can decrease and that he will be able to eat. Otherwise, they will put a feeding tube back in him to make sure he gets nutrients. So we don't want to step backwards. We want to keep coming home. So prayer for Ted, prayer for Debbie to be ready for Ted at home. I know there have been many arms and legs of this congregation who have gone to their house and helped out. Praise God for that. We are a church family, yes. So now I digress. There's other needs in the body that need to be expressed too. Raise your hand. Share praise. Share request. Yeah, we had the accident out here, and that was... And that involved Helen, right? And Helen, you're here. Praise God. Susie, I saw your hand go up.
So, Mary talked about Mary's kitchen.
Okay.
She's extremely ill, and she is in quality of life. And so, she's extremely ill. So, she needs prayer for so that's all you really need to say. So, but bless her heart, you know, she misses her lovely family from that comes and eats at her restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And her loved ones. That is her family. So,
yeah.
So truly pray for her and all of
her. Yeah, bring it.
Oh, okay. So the team challenge.
And the good news is God's had greater plans for them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess just for the people who might be on the stream, Susie shared about Mary, the owner of Mary's Kitchen, with some severe illnesses, and she is hospitalized, yes? Okay. And of course, for her customers as well, that are used to her presence. And for a group of about 8 guys in Teen Challenge, who we just need to pray the following, Satan, go to hell and leave them alone. In Jesus' name, leave them alone. so they can find God. A prayer for Judy's grandson Josh, who's slipping back into alcoholism. And again, this one's a little closer to home for me, guys. I was his youth pastor, so I'm gonna say, Satan, go to hell in Jesus' name, get away from my kid. Carolyn. Prayers for Fred and Carolyn traveling to see their second son, Tony, up in Issaquah, Washington. You know, I-5 can be treacherous at times. Anyone else have a praise or prayer request they would like to share? Yes.
But also be in prayer for Tom and Lori as they continue driving home, and the boys as they continue to adjust.
Yes. So three things that Linda brought up. One, for Nikki and Zed as they adapt to living with their mom. For Tom and Lori, Grandpa and Grandma coming home, safe travels, and a praise that her daughter Libby had a great oral surgery and is going to be in less pain. Teresa. Oh no. So Teresa shared your daughter graduating from U of O. Love you and your daughter so much already. Please. I always need it. Congratulations on that. I know, I've been there. I've been to college. It's hard, right? And it's such an accomplishment, even for you. And then prayer for your brother with his heart condition and the complication of COVID right now. Absolutely. Yeah. Betty. Ryan Hesacker went to school with Jeff and I and Josh. I know my heart reaches out to him, but I know Jeff's is totally torn in two right now. If you know my cousin Jeff, who's served here before, his heart is just torn right now for Ryan. So prayer for Jeff that he has comfort. But Jeff is really hoping at this moment that He's reached out to Ryan. He's talked to Ryan a couple times. He's really hoping that Ryan will really find God, because Ryan has also had substance abuse. I don't know if you guys know, but he has a lot of physical challenges and painkillers and stuff to try to deal with that. And so he's always struggled. And so Jeff is really, I'm praying with Jeff. He called me up and said, pray with me. I said, okay. But we're praying for an end to all addiction. And for Ryan to really be renewed. Yeah. Sarah. It's been great. A couple people asked me how our dog is doing, how Jojo's doing. And Jojo is Dawson's dog. Yeah. Yeah. Jojo has seizure disorder and arrhythmia. And it's quite a challenge. She'll just be walking along and then all of a sudden just fall. And then she'll come back from that and she'll be the happiest, lovingest dog that was there moments ago. So we're seeing a veterinary cardiologist. So prayer for that and prayer for being able to cover the bills and all the stuff that comes with that. And then Sarah's co-worker from the school she teaches at has been battling cancer. And she's in probably the strongest part of her fight right now. And what has been great is, hey, if times are good, praise God. If times are bad, praise God. And it's been so refreshing to see her posts because times are so bad for her in this world. And yet she has kept her focus on the next, not wanting to leave this one. But the truth is this, if you've accepted Jesus, your victory isn't then, it's now. No matter what happens to this flesh, right? So it's been awesome seeing her posts that have been so focused on that. And I know people are going to be led to God because of her struggles. Anyone else? I know I'm repeating it all, but I don't know if you guys, but my hearing's old, so in the back I might not hear someone else. And yes, Josh, a praise, bring it. Josh just wants to praise God for his mom and her always being there. I can second that one, Josh. Yep, a praise and a prayer request all at once. The car ain't working, but the job is. Hallelujah. Bill's got a job. And that starts on Monday the 26th. The same day that I begged Donna to watch my children while I start summer school. So that's going to be a Super Bowl day. Pray for everyone. So, yeah. Pray for Bill and Donna and a new automobile. A resurrected automobile. Anyone else? All right, let us go together as a family. And then we're going to do one more thing with the kids after that because Betty is going to do a children's church. So, yeah. Father God, we come before you as one family of God. Every one of us here claims you as our spiritual parent. Lord, you are the God who sees us as we are and loves us unconditionally. Thank you for being that kind of a God. Lord, forgive us this last week when we have not been mindful of all the things you have for us to do, when we have slipped, when we have fallen, but when we've gotten back up and said, thank you, Lord, forgive me, I'm going to go again. Lord, we bring many needs to your throne today. They've all been expressed. Health, money, pets, employment. None of these things are insignificant to you. And so we trust you with all of these needs in this world, in this side of eternity, and know that you have said that if you would even make the flowers of the field blossom and be so beautiful, and they are insignificant to us, then how much more do you love us and will take care of us? The lilies of the field are beautiful, but you created us for so much more. We trust you, Lord. So for all these needs, and for the many praises due to you, we say, amen. We love you. Now, kids, if you come forward, we're going to do a real send-off prayer for them to go to children's church, which will give Bev, it'll give Betty a minute to get up and get in position.
Good morning, Jacob. I'm really glad to see you. It's been a long time. He is. It's okay. Hey, Jacob. We're just glad you're here. There you go. Our heart is full to see you. Let's pray for our children. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the future you have promised us in these children here. Lord, give Betty the exact right words to minister to them as we send them off to hear a message of your greatness and your great plans for their lives. Amen. Right, go that way.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's great to be here with you again today. My heart is just full. God is so good. He's always at work around us, you know? And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the community of brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, that we can come and gather in his name, sing praises to him, share our burdens with one another. I mean, that's what being a part of the body of Christ is all about. And so I'm grateful. It's just, my heart is full, just hearing the prayer requests, hearing the praises that we have. You know, it's, life is ugly sometimes, but God is still with us. God is still with us. So bless his holy name. Hallelujah for him and his salvation through Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to be able to share with you again today. Remember, We talked last week about Let Us. So we're doing a Let Us series. Not Let Us, you know, the vegetable, but Let Us. So today we will continue our series on the Let Us phrases found in Hebrews chapter 4. And last week, the first Let Us phrase was, let us do our best to enter that rest, and what God's rest looks like in daily life. And so this week is the second phrase, let us hold to what we believe. So our scripture again is found in Hebrews chapter 4. And today we're going to focus on verses 11 through 14. All right. So again, you can follow along in any translation you have. We have it posted for us to read here from the New Living Translation. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." So he says in verse 14, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe." The key phrase, let us hold firmly to what we believe. So let's review again the purpose of the letter to the Hebrew believers. We discussed last time that this group was a mixture of spiritual maturity. So some were newer to the faith. Some were questioning their faith. Some survived persecution. And remember, some people were actually still in the midst of being persecuted. The author of the letter wanted to call this group back to their roots in Christ, God's Messiah. And thus, throughout the letter, all of Hebrews explains Jesus' role and his significance. The writer reminds us as modern readers that God's promise of rest still stands today. He hasn't forgotten us. So it's a new day, but that promise still stands. He then goes on to argue that in order to believe in God's rest, to be obedient and not to doubt God, we need to hold firmly to what we believe. And what exactly is it that we believe as Christians? Just as we broke down what God's rest means last week, we talked about rest, we need to break down what we ought to believe about God. And so first, based on chapter 4, verse 2, you have to go back a little bit in the chapter, we should believe the good news, or what we call the gospel, as we call it. God has prepared rest for those who believe. In order to get God's rest, you actually have to believe in God. So rest, as you recall, because some of you weren't here last week, will bring you up to speed. So last week we covered, there are several forms of rest. We have the Sabbath, when you physically take a break, or when you go on vacation. It's also spending time with God, so we hear from him and gain direction, right? But ultimately, rest refers to the eternal rest, heaven, as we call it, once this life is over. So we have that rest. But how can we believe the good news about God's rest unless we first believe that God exists, right? You have to have a relationship with God. You have to know who God is in order to know anything about his promises. The word of God is vital in revealing that God exists, and the word of God is how we learn who God is. So we have to have the word of God to even know that God exists. We have to have those things to be able to grow in God. The word of God also reveals who we are and shows us who we can be through Christ. And that's why the author gives the description of what the word of God does. She puts the description right after sharing the pitfalls of the Israelites. So again, go back to verse 11. It says, "But if we disobey as Israel did, we will fall." So you got to be asking the question, how do we avoid the fall, Sister Judy? How do we do it? Obey God's word. Obey God's word. And again, you can't obey God's word unless you know God's word. So that means you got to crack that Bible open, whatever format it might be. I have it on my phone. I have it here on my iPad, as well as my old school paper Bibles, whatever format you have. You have to open it. You have to read it. You have to explore it. You have to meditate on it. Because if we don't do that, you can't really know the heart of God. And you can't understand who he is and how he wants us to be a part of him. That helps us to obey the word of God once we know it. Again, it reveals who we are and shows us who we can be through Christ Jesus. So, after the pitfall, she says, this is what the word of God is like. If you study the word, this is what the word of God can do in your life. And so she lists these things. First, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive in us through God's Holy Spirit. And the Spirit empowers us to live for God and do miraculous works for his glory. And so that's why your friend can give testimony, even though she's suffering. She's still telling other people about God. Can you believe that? That's the word of God alive in us. Woo, that's some powerful stuff. Here we are suffering, yet we can turn around and bless someone else. Show them who God is. Because they may be floundering. They might be weak at that moment. They might need the revelation of who God is. And who's going to tell them? Unless we do. The word of God is alive. It helps us to do miraculous works for God's glory. Another way the word is alive and powerful is because Jesus is the living word of God. Once Jesus came to earth, he lived out God's promises and actualized God's words. And if you read in the original language, it says he came and tabernacled among us. That means he dwelt in living spaces with us human beings. Jesus left his Godship, stepped out of eternity, and became like us. He put on flesh and lived just like we do. He had to go to the bathroom. He had to eat. He had to sleep. He was raised by parents, had to go to school, all that good stuff. Why? So he could show us that God really does love us and that he cares. What kind of God does that? Oh, as the song said, holy God. Amen. Ooh, we have a holy, holy, righteous God. And Jesus showed us that by living among us. She also says, number two, that the word of God is like a sharp sword, and it reveals our thoughts and desires. The writer is reminding us of the power of God's word. It's compared to a sword that gets all the way down to the bone. And that's because it reaches those dark places deep within us that we may not even be aware of ourselves. Isn't that something? But it gets to those places as well. Have you ever been reading the word of God and you get to this passage of scripture, or maybe you're praying and you feel like, ooh, I felt that. I really felt that. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. The Holy Spirit is calling you to a deeper place in God, moving and shaping you to be more like him. That's what the word of God does. The psalmist prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And when we read the word of God regularly and ponder its meaning for our daily life, we will change and become more like God if we follow what his word teaches. We've got to read it. We've got to obey it. The more we learn about God, how can you resist but do what he wants us to do and be who he wants us to be? He's such a loving God. Thirdly, the writer introduces another lesson to us from the Word of God. Verse 13 tells us, nothing, all capital letters, nothing is hidden from God, and that God is our judge. He's going to judge our works in the end. Allow me to read a portion from Psalm 139. It's a beautiful portion of scripture. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it, the psalmist says. Verse 15 says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are the thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered, the psalmist says. Verse 18 says, I can't even count them. That's just how good God is. I can't even count the blessings. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Isn't that a beautiful passage? It shows us no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, you might be hiding from your parents, you might be hiding from your friends, you might be hiding from the people you don't like. But guess what? God still sees you. When you're having the best of days, and you are celebrating, you're having a good time, God still sees you. He is with you no matter where you are. Deep, deep, deep down in the ocean, he's there. Way up in outer space. Did you see that, by the way? Incidentally, people who are going to outer space, what's that about? That's kind of cool. I don't have the money to do that, but maybe one day. But even out there, God's there. You can't go anywhere that God doesn't know. And in fact, as the psalmist says, before you were even born, he knew. Because he created you in his very image. He knows your days. He knows all your hairs on your head. He knows your end. And this is why he is a wonderful God. Because even though he knew we would sin, even though he knew we were going to grow up and rebel, he still made us anyway. He still loves us anyway. Isn't that amazing? How can you not love a God who does that? Loves us even at our worst times, when we're trying to hide from him, when we don't want to do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. He still loves us. So he says to us, he keeps giving us this invitation, come, come be with me, come be with me. And you can do that by knowing who he is, by reading his word, by admitting to yourself, I need God, and he sees me all the time. So let me live my life for him. The psalmist is concurring with the Hebrew writer. God knows everything about you because he created you, and at the end of your days, he will judge you. And it's not our neighbors or our coworkers or our family members. None of those people. We don't need to worry about impressing them. Those are not the people to be impressing. We need to have a relationship with God. And our concern should be, how do I stand in God's perspective, in his book? Does God want me to be doing this? Does he want me to be saying this? Does he want me to do this or that? Go here, go there, stand still right where I am. Forget about the people around you and trying to live up to them and comparing yourself. I can't sing like the lovely ladies up here that sing, play on the piano. I can't do that. So do I just stop and like, okay, well, I guess I'm useless. No. God needs every single last one of us to do what he's created us to do and be. That's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for us. Don't worry about impressing them. Don't worry about comparing yourself to them. Do what God's called us to do. And so the writer of Hebrews closes her argument about the significance of God's word by inviting us to hold firm to what we believe. That will help us from becoming distracted. The writer encourages us to hold firm to what we believe, to help us hold on to God's promise of rest. If we forget God's teachings, we will be like the Israelites. You're going to grow weary and give up. Because in our weariness, sometimes we start complaining and whining. And then those complaints become just flat out contempt. Because then we're questioning God, why'd you even make us anyway? Why is this even happening to me? I mean, ugh. And if you stay in that place, I mean, it's totally natural, totally normal. Because trust me, I have those days. I think to myself, because I take care of my 80-year-old mother, and I think, Lord, why is she suffering so much? What is this about? She's your servant. Get over here and help her. Why is this happening? It's okay to ask those questions. Remember, God knows our heart. You can't hide it from him. You can hide it from your friends and pretend you're oh so holy and would never say those things. But God knows your heart. I ask him all the time. That doesn't hurt our relationship. It actually builds our relationship. Because I go to God with everything. And he wants me to come to him with everything. And so he says to me, oh, baby girl, I know. I know it's hard. But guess what? Check your mama out. She's still praising me. She's over there in pain. But guess what? She's singing songs of praise. Did you hear her? And I'll stop and I'm like, she sure is. Well, go ahead on then. I mean, she's having church all by herself all the time. Why? Because of her relationship with God. She knows her God is a healer. She knows her God is a provider. She knows her God loves her, created her in his image. So it doesn't matter what's going on. She's still going to praise him anyhow. That's standing on the promises of God, because she knows that there's a great rest stored up for her. She may not be resting all the time now, but the promises of God says, I got you. I'm going to take care of you, even here. It could be worse, but guess what? I got you. And if you just continue to shine your light, others around you are going to get to know who I am. And that's why I placed you where I placed you. You're in your neighborhood, Sister Linda, because that's where God needs you. I'm not going to reach those people where you are. This is not going to happen. So I don't need to compete with you. You don't need to compete with me. Shine your light for God's glory. Amen. Obey God's word so that even when we're discouraged, it's okay. Dig deeper into what you believe and what you know about God. That helps us not to fall. So let's review what some of the writers said. We must believe in God, that God exists, right? And not only does he exist, but he has promised us rest in many ways, not just in this life after this one, but while we're here, right here and now. We are empowered through the Spirit, through the Word of God, and motivated to keep pressing toward the mark of our high calling when we know God's Word and apply it to our lives. It's the living Word. He uses us for miraculous works. And lastly, the Word of God reveals not only who God is, but who we are, and that we are in need of God's salvation and his rest. And I'm going to tack this on. Invite others to come with you into that rest. Remember, he created us to be in community. He took a whole tribe of people out of Egypt to follow him and be his peculiar people. He didn't just take one person. He took a whole community. Why? Because he wants all of us to enjoy fellowship with him. Not just his favorites. Every single last one of us. Because we are all his favorite. That's an amazing God. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the ability to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, study your word, sing praises to your name, pray with each other and for one another, and just give you praises for who you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for our health and strength and a right mind. Thank you for touching our brother Ted. Bless your holy name. Thank you for salvation and for being our rock, a mighty fortress. We are living in the last days, and you have not left us alone. Thank you, God, for not leaving us alone. And as the psalmist said, there is no place we could go without you knowing it. Thank you for having precious thoughts about us and for caring about us. I pray now for those who are seeking you. We had prayer requests earlier. For those who are lost and are on their journey of faith, we pray for them. Again, that you would reveal yourself and use us to let our light shine. And we thank you for that privilege to be able to do it. And for those needing your saving touch, physically or financially, mentally, we pray for that, Lord God. Be with us now as we leave our time of worship, but certainly not from your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and keep you this week.
Great message. So we have a song to close with, and it's a great song because it's Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. So let's stand and sing praises to the Lord. Be opened unto you.
And now, may the God of all peace and grace go before us, set straight our paths, and give us what we need this week. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
I love doing that. It's gorgeous.